Are you there, Jed?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Oh, welcome. This is Zane.
Thank you.
Yeah, you just spoke to Jacob.
Yeah, so yeah, we interviewed you, I think, before about the penalty rate cuts.
Yeah.
On a very same program. So I guess the first kind of question to kind of guess ask and going in line with your media release is, what is your kind of, what is the ACTU's kind of position on this new federal budget?
Well, we were hoping for a budget that would address all the things that Australians are feeling need to be addressed. You know, we have rising inequality in this country. We have insecure work. We have people caught on contract labour. There's rising cost of living for a lot of people who just live pay packet to pay packet. And unfortunately, there's very little in this budget that will really help any of that. We were concerned that there wouldn't be any new money for things like health and education, which of course is also important to Australians, and there's been cuts, surprise, surprise, to that. There's also been some very punitive measures, very awful punitive measures put on people who rely on unemployment benefits or disability payments just to survive. So it's interesting, though, because the budget has been dressed up by this government and by some parts of the media as a very progressive budget. You know, there's been a huge shift in ideology. They're going to tax the banks. But if you look very carefully at this budget, it's really not very progressive at all.
Mm-hmm. And can you kind of elaborate a bit more of what is in the budget that it particularly affects industrial law and workplace workers' rights issues in general?
Well, there's really what we were hoping that there would be something in there that, for example, would support a rise in the minimum wage. We knew that they were never going to backflip on their stand on penalty rates. But without trying to bore everybody by getting a bit technical, they have said that they're going to bring the budget back into balance, but they've done that predicting really very large wage increases, which they expect to get massive amounts of income, you know, pay as you earn income from, which is all, it's just completely crazy stuff. I mean, on the one hand, they're making sure that working people's pay goes backwards. And on the other hand, they're predicting all these massive wage increases. I actually felt it might be a good idea to write to Scott Morrison and say, come down to ACTU and we can have a chat about how we can make sure these wage rises happen. But, yes, it's a very strange budget indeed.
Mm. And one other question kind of have is basically what is their kind of proposals around education? What are the kind of the implications of that for, you know, workers, especially teachers?
Well, as you know, the teachers, the AEU, the Teachers Union in Australia, and the IEU lobbied very hard to get what we call needs-based funding, where the funding actually follows the child. And so that if you're a school that have a lot of children with high needs, then you would get more funding. If you're a school that doesn't, then you would get less funding. So in a nutshell, I think that's kind of what you describe needs-based funding as. And Gonski, of course, was the author of this model that Julia Gillard's government said they would implement. Now, the government, this particular government, Malcolm Turnbull, is trying to convince Australian people that he is actually going to deliver on Gonski, but we understand that it's about $22 billion less money that is going to go into schools for our kids, which is pretty bad.
And so what is the character of these cuts? Are there any particular schools that are going to be affected?
Well, yes, it's interesting because the Teachers Federation in New South Wales did a wonderful analysis of the cuts and has been able to actually bring out school by school who is going to lose and what will happen. And what we can see is that under the original Gonski proposal, about 80% of all federal government funding would go to public schools, to state schools, and 20% would go to private schools where people can actually pay. Under this model, we believe that less than 50% will actually go to state schools, which is, you know, outrageous because that's, we know, where the most need is. They don't get income from fees. They have a lot of the lower socioeconomic demographic kids that need a lot of assistance. So really, this is, again, a handout to those wealthier schools that don't really need the money.
Mm. But it's been kind of packaged as something, because the Turnbull government when reviewing this budget, basically said something along the lines that we are actually going to be cutting, you know, government subsidies from private schools. Is that all just, you know, propaganda, kind of ideological?
Well, it's hard to marry the two. I do know that there are some very, very wealthy schools, like the top 20 or so wealthy schools, that will get a large cut. I know the Catholic school system is saying that they are going to lose out quite dramatically. And then the teachers' union are saying, well, you know, less than 50% is going to go to public school. So there's a lot of discourse around this. My heart and soul lies, of course, I think, with the teachers. I think that they would know what they were talking about. But there appears to be a lot more analysis to be done. But the basic bottom line to take away from it is that $22 billion will be cut from the education budget.
And I guess one of the next things I kind of want to ask is, you mentioned the kind of punitive welfare kind of changes, and what is kind of like what has been kind of the position of the union movement and the ACTU generally on these changes and how they would affect impact on workers and.
Yeah, so for a long time now, we have supported the need for a rise in Newstart. I mean, I think it's about $35 a day at the moment. Nobody can live on that much money. It is ridiculous. You can't afford to buy new clothes. You can't afford to go to the dentist. You really can't afford to do any of life's necessities on $35 a day. So we were hoping for an increase in Newstart, at least. We were also hoping for an increase in funding for homelessness, which, as you know, is becoming an increasing problem. We were hoping that the very punitive Work for the Dole program, including the awful jobs pass, would be scrapped, and that some proper training and skills money would be put aside to help unemployed people, young people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities to actually get some meaningful, dignified work. But none of that was really in. Instead, what we saw was an awful new compliance framework for jobs seekers. They'll get penalised 50% of their payments for missing one appointment and 100% of their payments for missing, I think it's a second appointment. So the government is using a very punitive measures and then saying, hurrah, look at this, we're going to save $600 million over 5 years. But really, you know, what they're going to do is just vilify people who find themselves in an unfortunate situation of having to rely on welfare or unemployment benefits. They're going to expand the cashless debit card. I don't know if your listeners know about that, but we do not support that. Mm. This is a form of income management, which really takes away your democratic rights to spend your money on whatever you like. There's going to be drug testing trials. This has been in the paper recently, where they're going to test the sewage of certain suburbs. So, yeah, there's some really awful punitive stuff in there that is not even necessarily going to raise a lot of money. One could almost say that maybe it's just keeping the extreme of their party and their followers happy, thinking they're doing something, you know, that awful downward envy pandering that we see.
And I reckon it's related to the wages question that you talked about, because all this sort of demonising and micromanaging and putting the screws down on the most poorest and vulnerable people in the community,
yeah,
that puts downward pressure on wages, because you'll take any job you can get to get out of this pit of having your life controlled. And I've heard so many reports of these scummy employment agencies double booking people for meetings.
So really?
When you talk about getting your payment cut by 50% for not turning up to a meeting, in many cases you've got a meeting with your job employment provider and a Work for the Dole thing in another part of the city scheduled for the same time. So they make a mistake. You can't be in two places at once, and then you get your payment cut.
Well, this is exactly right. And I don't think this government has any idea just how hard it is to be unemployed. Mm. You know, you're describing all the requirements are just complicated. I've heard stories of people getting letters in the mail that arrive on the day they've been told they have to go to their appointment. You know, there's really, the system is broken, and the system needs a complete overhaul. And we have been saying for a long time, we've worked with our friends at the unemployed Australian Unemployed Workers Union, who have uncovered a lot of these things, that really the whole system survives to keep itself going. Do you know what I mean? There's perverse incentives to keep people churning through the system because they get paid on a per-person basis. You know, it's a mess and it needs a complete overhaul, not to mention, as you say, how horrible and hard it is for people that have to survive.
One other question I have here, and this is something that the union movement has been particularly sort of putting attention to, is in the budget there's kind of this rhetoric about that they're going to, you know, take on the banks and they're going to address the issue of, you know, corporate tax avoidance. Is this true, or is it really just meaningless kind of reform?
Yeah, I'm really glad you raised this because this is one of those ones where they said, oh, look, you know, we're really going hard on the banks. They know everybody loves to hate the banks. I'm sure they think that this would be incredibly popular. But they have actually put a levy on the amount of mortgages and savings that the banks have, which will make it very easy for the bank to work out, you know, how to pass that cost on, which they will pass it on through mortgages and interest rates to their customers. But the biggest part about all of this is that I think this, I have called this a dishonest budget because they're trying to make people believe they're doing things that I don't reckon they're really doing. The $50 billion, which we now know will be $65 billion in tax cuts, are still in these books, right? So they have still factored in a $65 billion tax cut for big businesses. And, of course, who are big business? Who are the biggest business in this country? Or some of them are the banks. So the banks get a $6 billion levy, but down the track, the government's going to try all it can to get these massive tax cuts for big business through, and the banks, of course, will benefit from that. So, you know, I think it's a real smoke and mirrors exercise, and at the same time as having these massive tax cuts factored into this budget, they want to increase the Medicare levy for working people. Now, we don't have an issue with levies for healthcare. We love Medicare, we love NDIS, and we think they should be fully funded. But I think it's a bit rich when they say we're going to give tax cuts to the wealthiest people in the country and then slug an increase in the levy on working people. To me, that is not fair. That's all I'm saying, you know. And I think we really need to look at those corporate tax cuts. Maybe if we didn't have the corporate tax cuts in the budget, then we could afford to fund the NDIS, we could afford to fund Medicare, we could afford to fund the proper Gonski, if we didn't have to give all this money away to multinational corporations, who, let's face it, don't really need it.
Maybe we could even reverse some of the previous tax cuts that were put in under Howard and even under Hawke and Keating.
Maybe, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've got nothing against tax. I think tax is very important because it delivers, you know, very important services, but the right people have to pay tax. And it seems to us that it's those people that get away scot-free. What does Sally McManus say, 100, over 180 corporations or something, didn't pay a single cent in tax? You know, it's outrageous.
All right, so we've been running low on time now. Okay. Do you just have any final comments, Jed?
No. Thank you for letting me ramble on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks very much for being on a show for a second time.
Yeah. How is it working with Sally McManus, by the way? It's good to see an all-woman leadership of ACTU.
Thank you for that. Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Sally is fantastic. She's a dynamo, and she's really come in with a splash, and it's given, I think, the whole union movement a real energised boost. And so it's fabulous to work with Sally. It's great.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much, Jed.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks heaps.
Bye-bye. No worries.